Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another exciting episode of The Light of the Southwest. I'm Eric Espatia.
And I'm Holly Espatia. Shalom and welcome.
Shalom, everyone. We are just so excited to have a guest coming here all the way from India. But we want to tell you more, but before we do, we're going to ask the Lord to be with us on set, and may His Spirit guide us, and may the message that we need, that you need to hear, comes through the camera. So Abba, we just thank you so much for this time that we get to come together and to have the honor of interviewing your servants that are serving all over the world. And today we get to hear about what's going on with our family and our brothers and sisters in India. So Abba, we ask that your Spirit would guide us, protect us, and that your words of truth would come through, and may all the works of the enemy just be brought down, and only your Spirit would be here. So we ask this in the name of Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we do have, joining us today is Pastor Joseph John from Kehilat Bethlehem from India. Welcome to the show, Pastor John, Joseph.
Welcome. Yeah, thank you
so much for having me.
Amen. Yes, amen. So you tell us how you got to the States, and how's the trip going so far?
Well, I've just come to the States last week. This is my second week in Midland, Texas, and it's a joy to be here.
Nice.
And one of the reasons I've come is to share what is happening in that part of the world, and to also talk about what's happening in this part of the world, to tell people it's time for us to come together.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. It definitely is time to come together. So you are under Ahavat Ami, and you have a congregation in India. Now, I'm really bad at geography, and I'm guessing a lot of us are. So could you tell us maybe like what state or province or area that your group is most prominent in?
We are in the central part of India.
Okay.
In the state of Telangana, in the city of Hyderabad. India has about 28 states, and we are one of the 28 states. The city of Hyderabad, Telangana, where we have the Messianic synagogue over there.
Wow. And there's probably only one.
Right now, as far as I know.
When did y'all get established as a Messianic synagogue?
Well, our journey took place, our journey began in the year 2009. I used to be a pastor with a church for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was an assistant pastor, youth pastor. We were involved with marriages. We were involved with youth ministry. I used to travel all over India and in the Middle East also for youth camps, basically.
Mm.
And then the Lord put in our hearts to start a new church plant. And one of the days when I was in my morning devotion, I was seeking the Lord. I was asking the Lord, why do we need to have a church plant? Because our city has about 2,000 plus churches.
Wow.
So many churches. That. Why one more church?
Mm-hmm.
And I really, I and my wife never wanted to be part of starting a church. We always wanted to help the church, be part of the church. Mm-hmm. My wife was with Youth with a Mission for many years.
Oh, yeah, I know.
So she was involved with missions. Mm-hmm. So our heart is to serve God, do whatever God wants us to do. And this morning I was sitting and I was praying and I was reading Romans chapter 12. And Romans chapter 12 begins by saying, therefore, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of the living God, to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. At that second, I heard the Holy Spirit say, stop, start reading Romans chapter 11. I've read Romans chapter 11 before, but this morning was different. I opened Romans chapter 11, and all of a sudden, I began to see we who were a broken olive branch have been engrafted into the branch. A wild olive branch has been broken. Joined together with Yeshua, and it was like the pages of the Bible jumped out. It was a revelation to me to come to see how we are being engrafted. I've been in Bible college, but I never understood this part. I never saw it like that. But this morning was different, and there began our journey. So it was 1 month before we started our church plant. There was a man from Anchorage, Alaska, who was visiting India for a three-day conference that I happened to visit also. This conference was about healing of the body, mind, and soul through repentance and forgiveness. Wellspring Ministries of Alaska by Dr. Art Mathias. The principle is very simple. There is something there to forgive. There is something there to repent. The minute we do that, we can, number two, we cancel Satan's power and authority over me. And number three, Holy Spirit, tell us your truth. And whatever the Holy Spirit says, it's the next step. So we keep praying, keep repenting, keep praying until we basically see a breakthrough. My wife suffered with wheezing and breathlessness all her life. She was on an inhaler. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Art was in our house. He prayed with her for 45 minutes. And she said by the end of the prayer, she felt as if something just left her body.
Wow.
Praise the Lord. Wow.
And she was healed.
Wow. Baruch Hashem. Yes.
And Dr. Art then said, I want you to come to Anchorage, Alaska to do a two-week training. Mm. 1 week is basically teaching. The first day they talk about how our body operates in homeostasis and how sickness happens. The next 4 days is basically about everything about forgiveness, repentance, bitterness, jealousy, envy, rejection, abandonment. And the second week, we basically join into pairs and then we start praying for one another. And by the end of it, we basically our lives have changed. Mm.
Wow.
So what happened, my son was 2 years old. Mm. The first miracle was not that. The first miracle was that year in 2009, we had to get a visa to come to the U.S. We still have to. But to get a visa, the U.S. consulate was in a different city. The year we decided that we needed to go 1 month before our journey, there was a U.S. consulate opened in our city, in the city of Hyderabad.
Yes.
That was the first miracle so that we didn't have to travel. Mm. We went to the consulate and they didn't ask any questions and they just gave us the visa.
All right.
And so that was the first step. God opened the door for us to come.
Mm. Yes.
Next step is now we need money. Mm-hmm. We just started a new church plan. We were not even making a lot of money. I mean, one of the things in Christian religious organizations in India is that we cannot take a salary. So we have to live by faith. Mm. That is the law of the land. Mm. So we were having only around $10 or $20 every month as salary. So we cannot even take, and the law does not permit us to take also. So we need a miracle. So that year for both of us, up and down from India all the way to Anchorage and back was $2,000. Hmm. Somebody called us 1 week before we were planning to, and he said, give us your bank account. We thought he's going to just put some amount, but he put the whole amount.
Wow, praise
Boom.
The Lord.
Hey, miracle number two.
That was miracle number two.
Confirmation, you're supposed to go.
So,
wow.
Because I told my wife, I feel that God is asking us to go. And so she took the world map and said, you know where Alaska is? I said, I have no clue. So she showed me Alaska. We are here and we have to go to the other end of the world. So we took up a step of faith because at that time, my oldest daughter was 7 years old. My son is around 2 years old. And he was born with a lot of skin diseases and allergies and things of that nature. And the doctor said he should not eat this, he should not eat that, and whole list. But we took the step of faith and we went. Here we are in Anchorage. During the session, the Lord revealed to us what the problem was. We repented of it. And the minute we repented of it, here in Anchorage, Alaska, he got healed over
Hallelujah.
There in India.
Wow. Hallelujah.
He's going to be 17 years old this year and he's perfectly fine.
Amen.
Amen. He started off your ministry with a bang.
Exactly.
And then revealed his power so that there was no doubt.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, you had to have taken that energy back to India and started something revolutionary. And tell us more, please.
So this is what we do for anybody. This is our first level of discipleship for anybody in our community. We take them through the steps of healing and restoration of body, mind, and soul. I believe strongly we have many testimonies of many women who the doctors basically said it is impossible for them to conceive. Today they have been healed and they have 2 to 3 children in their house.
Praise
it is
Lord.
A miracle.
Mm. Amen.
So here began my journey into the Jewish roots of my faith. We finished 2 weeks of training, and at the end of the training, they had a pamphlet in Alaska about the next week they had a guest speaker. And who is the guest speaker? Pastor Mark Bells of El Shaddai Ministries.
Who we both know very well.
Yes. So I asked Dr. R, do you know him? He said, I know. So he gave us the contact number. We emailed him. And Pastor Mark said, everything is on the website. You can go ahead and learn. For the next 1 to 2 years, even though I've been in Bible college, all I did was listen to Pastor Mark morning, evening, take down notes. Because this is fresh revelation. It could not stop. I could not stop. I wanted more. And whatever I was learning, I started to teach. Amen. And that began our journey into getting engrafted, the engrafting process that took place.
Mm. Amen. Well, exactly what Romans 11
talks about. So, and from 2009 till now, Pastor Mark has been a solid foundation, a strong hand for us in India. Many times we have felt alone. El Shaddai Ministries and Pastor Mark Bills has been a support to us all throughout.
Mm. Yeah.
Every time we have any problem, we call him up, and he's every time willing to stand with us, share with us, talk with us, and he knows everything that is happening. Mm-hmm. Especially, I'm so excited about the book that he's just released, because I believe this is a wake-up call. Today, God is calling each of us to come back. If we don't come back now, if we don't do what God is asking us to do now, then who? If not now, when?
Amen. I was thinking about his book and the message of repentance, really warning, which gives us the opportunity to repent. And if it gives us that opportunity to repent, who is that message to? It's to those who have an ear. It's to Hashem's people, wherever they may be. And therefore, this opportunity, it's in our face. And in fact, as we were driving over here and visiting with you, we weren't aware of even what happened this morning.
Yeah.
You said there was
an earthquake in New Jersey, New York, which happened at 10 a.m. in the morning, which is, I feel this is very prophetic, because we are living in very prophetic times. God is waking up. There is the shaking of the earth, and heaven and earth is shaking. It's not God wants to bring disaster to anybody. Mm-mm. He wants us to come back to him. Repentance is all about revival. We are on the verge of one of the greatest revival mankind has ever seen. But for that to happen, there should be a repentance, a returning back to Hashem, returning back to one another, returning back in our relationships. That is going to bring in a great revival that is going to happen.
Hallelujah.
So we have that next week. In fact, we have the solar eclipse. Mm-hmm. Yep. The Bible very clearly says that the sun, moon, and stars are signs, signals, for warning signals. God is warning. What is he warning? Take note. Listen, I am there. Listen to my voice. Listen to what I have to say. Return to me. Be restored back to me. Because we are called to be a light. If we are going to fight with each other, how do we be the light? Mm. If we are having unforgiveness, bitterness with one another, how can we be the light? The scriptures very clearly say that the nations will see what you're doing and think how great your God is.
Yes.
Why should the nations look at us if we are warring with each other?
That's
right. If we are having no love for one another.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Unity, the unity that has to happen in our house first.
Exactly.
We have to have healing and unity and light in our home. Otherwise,
right.
Otherwise we are a light on a hill and we hide it under a basket. If we can't shine it, we have to be able to do it together. So how does the house of Israel and the house of Ephraim, how do we come together? How does the Western church and Israel and their Jewish brothers, how do we come together?
We have to learn to reconcile with one another. Number one, the house of Israel has the Torah for many, many years.
Yeah.
They have secrets of the Torah. We have been invited, or we have been purchased through our Messiah Yeshua into the house of Israel. They have a revelation.
Yes.
We have a revelation. They see in part, we see in part. Mm-hmm. The minute anybody repents and learns from the other, they're the winners. Mm-hmm. We have, and very clearly the scripture says that judgment begins with the house of God. Mm-hmm. So it's with us. Yes, the Jewish people, we have also become part of them through the Messiah. So God is calling us to be reconciled back to one another. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this reconciliation is going to be one of the greatest revival, because this is going to be the part of the coming of the Messiah. I believe we are in the footsteps of the Messiah. It Amen. Can be any time.
Yes.
With all this war that is happening all over the world.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we are living in one of the most difficult times, but we are also living in one of the greatest times mankind has ever seen.
It's a special time to be here. You get a smile on your face. I get a smile on my face when I think about it, not because of the coming destruction and the judgment that's coming, but because we have been chosen for such a time as this.
Exactly.
And you're fulfilling the calling right now, traveling all over. Where are you going next after Texas?
After Texas, I'm going to Colorado. I will be in Las Vegas. I'm going to be in Anchorage, Alaska. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be with Pastor Mark Bell, Seattle, Washington. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Yeah.
And how did this come about, and what's the mission that Hashem has you on during this time?
When people like us, when we look at the United States of America, it is a nation which has freedom. People from all the nations have come here because of the freedom. And the freedom has not come just because of the Constitution, but the freedom has come because of the biblical values, the foundations of your faith. Mm. And that is what calls people to come here. So as from the nations, when we begin to see what is happening to this nation, it really hurts us. Mm. It pains us from within. Your self-destruction. Nobody can destroy you until and unless you choose to walk that path. Mm. God is calling us. One of the things that God's calling me to do is to tell people to be restored back to the ancient paths. He's called you to be a restorer of the ancient gates, to returning back to the Torah. It is time for us, like in the days of Esther, where Mordecai calls upon Esther, if you do not do what God is calling you to do, then who will? If you do not partake of what God is calling you to do in these last days, who will do what God is calling you to do? If not me, who then?
Yeah. Yep.
Many times we think that it is, if Esther did not fulfill, God would have raised. No, I'm looking at the scriptures from a different perspective. I'm beginning to say, If Esther did not fulfill her role, they might not have been a second chance. I'm looking at me and say, if I don't do what God is calling me to do, they might not be a second chance. Mm. I hope it is not that. But I pray that God is calling us to come back.
Yeah. It's such a powerful message to hear that the nations are looking at the United States, the West, and we were a beacon of hope for many years, and they're seeing it right now, this wokeism and these other things, the extreme left,
yeah.
And we're seeing our country starting to fall, and how it hurt you to see that, and how it pains you, and how you wish for her to come back and repent and stand back up and be who you're supposed to be.
You're supposed to be the light.
Yeah.
Amen. You're supposed to be hope for the nations of the world which does not have the light.
Yeah. Mm.
There are many nations that are in full darkness. Mm.
Yeah.
They look at you. The reason they come here is because of the freedom. The freedom is because of the Bible. Mm. The freedom is because of the Torah.
Amen.
I know many people who have run away from their nations only because of the Bible over here.
Right.
And they are believers only because they are here.
Amen. Right.
Well, that makes me think too, and this is just the thought, but maybe on some level, the focus cannot be the U.S. It must be the Torah. It must be the Bible. It must be Hashem. It must be Jerusalem and their people. And on some level, this may be by divine design that we focus on him and maybe not, you know.
Because if it is not returning back to the Torah, then what it is?
Yeah.
It is all about our connection back with Israel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
You're called to be a restorer of beach. You're called to be a restorer of the ancient path. What is the ancient path? The ancient path is the path that Abraham took. A life of faith. A life of focus. A life of certainty. A life that is devoted unto Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Abraham did. That was his focus was. We are restoring back. We are called children of Abraham. We are restoring back to our Jewish brothers.
Mm-hmm.
We are reconciling with them. They are also part of this end-time fulfillment, end-time prophecy which God is doing in these last days. God is calling us to be part of that in these last days. So the question is, are we willing to? The first step begins by forgiveness. Look at many homes that are broken. Look at many relationships that are broken. Look at many churches that are broken. All because of my ego or my pride. Can we put that all aside? What did our Master Yeshua teach? He taught us to deny ourselves. Take up our cross, be going that extra mile, being willing to forgive and let go and live a life of restitution and reconciliation with one another.
Amen. You're not in the studio right now with us, but I'm telling you, I can feel the spirit, and I keep getting hit with the chills as you're talking, and not because of the message, but because of the passion. And because I can feel the spirit like that you have, and this is what you live. You live this every day.
So one of the things that really pains us is that family is being broken. It's not a physical thing. It is a spiritual matter. God is seeing that if it hurts me, I'm thinking how much it hurts God.
Mm-hmm.
The scriptures begin with a family, with Adam and Eve, a wedding. Revelation ends with a wedding.
Mm.
So family has always been the focus of God.
Mm-hmm.
But the enemy has put a wedge behind it. Why? Because we've lost focus on Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
We have not turned to him. We got our priorities wrong. We have so much around us that we fail to see what is our worth. Right now, how many of us look at these warnings that are happening in our nation, in the nation of in the United States, and say, God, what are we supposed to do? Mm-hmm. Look at the world. Look at what has been happening in Israel from October 7th.
Yeah.
Look at the pain of the families that are going through. Nobody wants to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to share about that. Mm-hmm. We always want to talk about the enemy, how cruel Israel is. But Israel is doing what they're supposed to do to get their people back.
Yes.
Any parent would do that to a child.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We will do whatever it is. And Hashem is doing whatever it is to bring them back.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, it is good because God is using this difficulty to bring the Jewish people back to him. And it is also good for the nations, for us to be restored back to him.
Yes. Yes.
So in the end, it is all about restoration.
Yes.
Yes.
God is bringing this restoration. The right. question is, am I going to be willing to yield to the restoration of God? Am I going to be receptive to the voice of God? Am I willing to give up my ego, my pride, my everything and say, God, for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of the master, for the sake of Yeshua, for the sake of Israel, for the unity of one another, can we come together?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There is so much challenging our children, the internet, the phones. Everything wants to steal our attention away. We get caught up into social media, the news, and we feel helpless. But we don't need to feel helpless because there is one person who can save us.
Exactly.
If we just repent, come back.
Look at the war with the children. In my days, we did not have phones or internet.
Yeah.
But look, today's generation is born with the internet.
Yeah.
We cannot do without them. But they are lost. You go anywhere in the airport or you go walk down the street, 24/7 people are on this. Or else we have people wearing AI on their eyes and they're walking with it. It has its good benefits, but it's taking us away from the master. It is taking us away from God. And because it's taking us away from God, it's taking us away from the Torah, taking us away from the pathways of Yeshua, what's happening? We're being drifted. We don't even know what is right and wrong. We look at good and we say it is evil. We look at evil and we say it is good. Why? Because we don't have a standard anymore. The standard is somebody else. We compare ourselves with others. Mm. So I tell people, why don't we compare ourselves with the Bible?
Mm-hmm. Right.
This is the standard. It's already put over there. Why don't we do it? We have no time for prayer. We have no time for a family altar. We don't have time to come together. Even if we come for Shabbat, we are in a hurry. We are in a hurry to do something else.
Right.
But being restored back to this ancient path that is led by our shepherd, and he wants us to come into that pasture, that place of rest.
Correct.
And so as he's been revealing to his sheep, his flock throughout the world, coming back, connecting with his staff, the Torah, and starting to honor Shabbat and keep the biblical laws and to join to the Jewish people.
Yes.
That he does want us to come back together as family. And we've seen, as he's been bringing us closer and closer to him in alignment with Torah, that he's healed and restored our family over the years. And he's kept us through many seasons of challenges, difficulties, opposition. Shabbat has been one of the ways he's kept us together as a family. He's healed our marriage. He's brought healing between family. We had a season of being separated from family, and it required humbling. Even though we felt like we had justification to hang on to an offense and keep a wedge there, through the Holy Spirit and through our congregational leader, through the Word, Yeshua, helping us to humble ourselves, to set aside any offense, and to just come to our family and say, we're sorry.
Yeah.
Will you please forgive us? So Hashem has restored, he's healed, he's kept us, and he's united us slowly but surely, weaving us together with his people. And we are becoming one, echad, this grafting in. So I'm so thankful. And so your heart, your message that you're here to encourage Hashem's people to come back to that ancient path.
Absolutely.
It's beautiful and it's timely, and I can testify that it is healing and it is the repair and tikkun for everything the enemy is doing to tear apart the fabric. This is the way Hashem is mending it and repairing it.
That's revival. That's what exactly revival is all about.
Yep.
We are stronger when we are together. Mm. The enemy is together in their purpose. Mm. The body of Messiah is not together in its purpose, in her purpose of serving. We are divided by faith, theology, leaders. We are divided. We find reason to divide ourselves. I tell people, we all have one thing in common. That is our Master Yeshua.
Yes.
And he's calling us to return back to the Bible, return back to the Torah. Can we stay united? Can we set aside all our differences? We don't have to agree on everything. Nobody will agree on everything. But can we learn to love one another?
Yes.
Be united for one another. And together see this restoration take place.
Amen.
When the Jewish people left Israel during the first exile, the prophet Jeremiah very clearly said 70 years. Because the sages say their sin was revealed. Because of this revealed sin, the exile was also revealed, how many years the exile is going to be. So as they were leaving, the prophet Jeremiah, and who was Jeremiah? Jeremiah was somebody that nobody wanted to listen. He was a young man when God called him. And God said, don't say you are young. I've called you. Nobody listened to him. Nobody even thought what Jeremiah said was going to come to pass. Because there were other prophets who were saying, everything's going to be all right. Jeremiah said, no, everything's not going to be all right. Because there is murder, there is bloodshed, there is fornication, and there is idolatry. It was out open. And Jeremiah said 70 years. 67 years, the whole story of Purim takes place. And what's the miracle? Mordecai got them together. Mm. Mordecai saw the pain. He understood. There was this great mourning. He's crying. In chapter 4 of Esther, the scriptures very clearly say that Mordecai, when he heard the ruling of the king of what is going to happen to the Jewish people, the scriptures say that he began to cry out loud. Why is he crying? Why? Because the purposes of God are not going to be fulfilled. Something is going against the purposes of God. In the book of Genesis, we read about another person crying out, wailing out. Who's the person? It is Esau. What is he crying about? He's crying about because he lost the blessing. And we think that Jacob deceived him, but Jacob didn't deceive him. He sold it to him. Very clearly, the scripture says, Esau I have hated, but Jacob I have loved. Here in the book of Genesis, Esau is wailing because the purposes of God are being fulfilled. Mordecai is wailing because it's not fulfilled. And later on it goes on to say in chapter 4 of Esther, it says that the people joined along. He got the people together. And the reason the verdict was turned was the people came together in repentance.
And they fasted, I remember. How do you get an entire group of people to all fast together? You have to be united to do
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Yeah. So when we look at the United States, when we look at the nation of Israel, when we see what's going to happen, what do we do? Come together.
Yes.
Put aside our differences.
Yes.
Stop making excuses about our theologies. Mm-hmm. Let Yeshua come and sort it out.
Yes.
He will give us a new theology, a new halakha to walk ahead.
Yes.
Yep. I think in today's culture, that it's just like, I think people look at it and go, another thing to do, something else, like, you know, I got all this schedule, all these things I have to do. I can't do church too or whatever. But when you when you come, he says, my burden is light, my yoke is light, he says that he's in control. And it really is, if you turn your heart over to him and you confess with the whole heart and you just give it to put it in his hands, he takes the rest. He'll take the rest of those steps. And there is rest in his Shabbat, there is life in his Torah, there is hope and mercy. He is slow to anger. And it just, like, I know that it feels like it would be a hard decision to make, but it is the best thing
it
you can do.
Best. It is the best decision anybody can make.
Yeah.
Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Mm-hmm. Yeshua is quoting from Jeremiah. Mm. What is the yoke of Yeshua? What is the yoke which Jeremiah is talking about? Mm-hmm. It is the Torah.
Yeah.
When you know that this is the truth, and you're doing it because you love Hashem, you love God, it's not burdensome.
No.
Very clearly, Yeshua says that, I have not come to take you away from the law.
Yeah.
I've only come to basically show you what the Torah means.
Mm-hmm.
And that should give us strength, that should give us courage. Returning back to Shabbat is not a burdensome thing. We look, but I should do this, I should do this, I should. No, you don't have to do anything, just come. Mm-hmm. We'll do the doing part later. Mm-hmm. Just start doing. Just
right.
start living it.
That's
you
right.
don't have to worry about all the complications that come with it.
That's right. No, I think that's a great message. I feel like, you know, some people just look at certain things and they're like, oh, there's no way I can do all that. But God's like, hey, just come. I will teach you. And it's little by little. That's how Joshua took the land of Israel, was little by little. They couldn't take it all at once.
It's always one step at a time.
Yeah, that's right.
We cannot consume everything at once. Mm-hmm. Nobody's asking anybody. The first step is repentance.
Yeah.
Yes.
One thing I tell in my ministry is to my people is that every time we hear something we messed up, instead of going into depression or negative thinking and going that path, why don't we say, hallelujah, I have one more thing to be restored back unto Hashem.
Mm.
Yeah.
One more thing I can repent of.
Yeah. Yeah.
One more thing I can get closer to.
Pastor Joseph, can you tell us a little bit of what the church looks like in India? I think we talked about what's going on here, but can you tell our audience a little bit about, you know, what does the nation of India look like? And tell us about your demographic and Hinduism a little bit and the things that you're having to face.
So I started learning from Pastor Mark Bills. And in 2015, 2016, I saw a Messianic Jewish rabbi come to El Shaddai Ministries.
Hmm.
Rabbi Itzhak Shapira.
Hmm.
Yes.
With a message called Shuvu.
Yes.
I heard that word Shuvu, returning. It crushed my heart. And that's how began our journey with Rabbi Itzhak Shapira. In restoring the nations back.
Mm.
India is a nation with so many people, so many gods and goddesses, 365 million gods and goddesses. You can keep counting.
Wow.
Today, Hinduism is the highest religion, and there is a little bit of Christianity and Islam. A lot of people are into Hinduism. The churches, there are many big churches, massive churches. When I'm talking about big churches, there are churches which have communities as big as 10,000 and 20,000 people.
Wow.
But many of them do not understand the restoring back to the Torah.
Mm. Mm.
They only look at the Torah or look at the Old Testament as old and the New Testament as new. They don't understand this part which Apostle Paul is talking about in the book of Romans chapter 11. Many people have never read the first five books of the Bible.
Hmm.
When I look at the first five books of the Bible, I see it as the foundation.
Yes.
If we want to understand Pauline writings, if you want to understand the words of Yeshua, or else also if you want to understand the book of Revelation, we have to understand what the first five books said. There is nothing new under the sun. What has been said from the beginning of time is what is going to happen in the last days.
Mm-hmm.
So people want to know what is going to happen in the last days. Just see what has happened in the first five books of the Bible. It reveals very clearly because the Torah is a book of prophecy. It's prophetic in nature. It's telling us what God is doing or what God is going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So India has a lot of people, but India is also going through a lot of persecution. I know churches whose pastors were beaten, many people were beaten. I know a lot of communities basically were eradicated. Many Bene Manasseh, the lost tribe of Manasseh, mm-hmm. is there in India. That group of people has been going through a lot of suffering for the last couple of months in India.
Mm.
It is a very political thing, but it is a sad reality. Nobody knows about it. It is a truth. Their synagogues have been burned. The churches have been burned. The people have been displaced. The people are in war. And It's war against humanity.
Mm, yes. Can you tell us a little bit about what Kehilat Bethlehem is doing, the ministries that you're doing and the works that you're doing in your own community?
So along with Pastor Mark and Rabbi Shapira, we have begun this whole process of restoration. Mm. For many years, our community used to be in our house. And during COVID, everything shut down. We lost our house. And then we basically had to take a commercial space for our community. We took a commercial building and then COVID hit. For 2 years, basically, we were not able to meet together. But we had to pay the rent. Mm-hmm. And then getting the people together after COVID was a humongous task.
Sure.
People sitting at home, having their own thoughts, and lack of fellowship, lack of gathering, caused a lot of difficulties that we are still working through in our community right now. Today we have begun that journey back, and Hashem is helping us. But at this time we are also training about 20 to 30 pastors from the villages of our state of Telangana and Andhra Pradesh. What we do is basically meet on a weekly basis via Zoom. And these are pastors who, they understood that Shabbat is important, but they don't know anything about it. So we give them the education, we give them the training, we give them the tools. Because education is a big thing that we don't have in India, especially the right type of education. We have other kinds of education. So we are involved in restoring these pastors back into the ancient pathways, into the Torah. When I look at that, for me, that is revival because they're returning back to the Messiah, teaching them what it means to stand united and stay with one another. Mm. We have a project where we feed around 100 plus poor people on the streets. We basically cook, we pack, and we physically go to the streets of our city and give them good hygienic food for the poor and the needy on the streets of our city. We also have a ministry among children where we one of the focuses is to raise up the next generation. And one of the things for the next generation is that we lack resources. When I talk about resources, is books, materials. We don't have it there physically. It is all in this part of the world. For us to get it from here, buy it, ship it, customs, it's humongous. People will not buy. So we're trying to find ways how we can facilitate to raise up the next generation. The next generation is very, very important. The pastor's work is basically to have messianic communities all over India. My dream is to have in every state at least one messianic community, which is authentic, which is genuine, which is focused on God for Israel and together with one another. We, apart from this, we also have a rescue home in the city of Pune, which is run by my friend Timothy. The rescue home is basically we rescue children who are born out of prostitution in the red light area of the city of Pune.
Wow.
They are in the market. Children are sometimes born, either girls or boys. If they are in the market, they get sold at the age of as young as 10. Ugh. So what we do is we go to the mother, sign an agreement with them, take them out of that facility, and basically give them food, education, and help them see a better life. In fact, there is one girl whose name is Payal, who we got as a young girl. She was with us. She got trained. She got educated. She left. Today, she is an aerostress in one of the leading airline companies of India.
Wow.
That's the restoration that we are looking at.
Baruch Hashem. If you're looking to look into the ministry, I would encourage you to go on, and I think we'll put the web address up. But it is www.kehilatbethlehem.com. You can go on to your Facebook page, your YouTube channel, and there's many different ways to get involved. And I think people can look up. And is there a way that they can donate through your website as well?
It's all available online.
Okay.
Everything is there on Bethlehem.com, where for Indian donors and international donors, and also ways for people to give directly through Zelle or 501c3 donations also.
Okay. And is there a way for folks that may want to come and donate their time and get involved
absolutely.
In India to take a couple weeks and help you that way?
I would love to have people come. But the only thing is that when you come, remember, do not say that you're coming for ministry.
What do you say?
Visitor, tourist. Yeah.
Okay.
Understand. Wow. So you said the government today is very
Hinduistic, fanatic government.
Okay.
And they're focused on Hinduism. They believe that Hinduism is the only original language. Everybody else needs to come to their mother.
Sure.
To their roots.
To that root.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
So it's very difficult sometimes for the Christians, for the believers. Mm-hmm. But at this time, this month, in fact, we are going to have elections. So this will be the third time the Modi government, if he gets elected, comes to power. They want to restructure the constitution of India. They want to change it from its very fabric, from what it used to be. Mm. It has a good point, but it has its bad effects also, especially when it comes to not having freedom of faith or religion for others. Mm-hmm. I've known in some places there are these anti-conversion bills that have been passed, which basically means that anybody who's coming from a Hindu home is not allowed to come into that church. If they're found, they're basically hit. The pastor is persecuted or even taken to prison. Mm-hmm. We have many stories after stories which I cannot share on live TV.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And I think I read recently also that they were trying to pass something about prayer, against prayer for healing.
Yeah.
That it's not scientific.
Yeah.
And so that's going to impact.
It's all going to impact the Christians and the bigger body of the church in India in a larger scale.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I found that interesting because I think I read that this week in the news. But combined with your testimony of how God brought great healing in your family through prayer.
Correct.
And I was just reading this week in John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. Mm-hmm. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son.
Amen.
If you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Amen.
Amen.
Awesome.
Amen.
Powerful verse and word for today, for this season, to encourage us to ask in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, that his salvation would go forth, that the Father would be glorified as he answers those prayers.
Amen.
So
it reminds me of the prophet Haggai. Haggai chapter 1, where the Lord asked Haggai, how can you be busy with what you're doing when my house lays in ruins? Mm. The house, the temple. Shaul talks about in the Brit Kadasha that our body is the temple of God. Believers are the temple of God. How can we be busy with other activities when we have hurt, bitterness, unforgiveness towards one another? The second exile, the sages say, is because of baseless hatred. Sinat kinam. Mm-hmm. Basically means that you don't know the sin. It's the hidden sin. The only way to come out of the second exile is for us to recognize that evil within us. Mm-hmm. The Hamas within us. I can smile at somebody and say Baruch Hashem or praise the Lord, but inside I hate them with my heart. It's hidden. It's prideful. An external eye looks so good. In fact, in this week's Torah portion concerning Nadab and Avihu, they had the right intentions. They had everything correct. But they played with the wrong kind of fire. The scriptures say, the Torah says that the fire from the altar went through their nostrils and burned their soul alive. Because they had a strange fire. Same thing with Korah, playing with strange fire.
Jealousy.
Jealousy, envy. We are living in a very materialistic world. Can we live, is it possible for us to live a life of simplicity without materialism? I really suggest people should start going and seeing nations, seeing people groups, seeing what is happening around the world. When you understand that, then you begin to understand, God, yes, you have blessed me, but I don't need all these things. I can use it for something else.
Amen.
Hashem is telling us it's time to build the house. Build one another. Build each other. Forgive. To come together. And in the book of Haggai, in the end, he says, the people responded. He says, go up to the mountain and come back and let us build together the house of the Lord.
Amen. That's beautiful. And the ultimate goal of building this house, coming together in love, and building, being built up and building the actual physical house, is for a fullness of Hashem's presence to be in our midst. So we are preparing the way to welcome a fullness of His presence. And as we talk about the return of Mashiach, this is our part, our role is to build and prepare for Him.
We are preparing His path. Mm-hmm. That's what it says in the book of 2 Peter also. Be focused on the work of God, and by doing so, you hasten the coming.
Amen.
The work is not watching television. Yes, you can watch. I'm not against anybody watching. The point is, we need to be focused on doing the works of God.
Yeah.
Building the kingdom of God. Being involved. Maybe we can't go anywhere. We can pray. Maybe we don't know how to pray much. We can give. If we have the strength in our bodies, we can go. If we are not part of a community, be part of the community. There are many people who are disjoined out of the body because they're not part of the community. Because they find the community not perfect. There is no perfect community. The perfect community will come when the Messiah comes. He's kept us there in this community so that in this is the making and the building of us together. He's preparing us. In fact, isn't that what Yaakov says, James says in James chapter 1? When you go through different trials and temptations and difficulties, consider it joy. Mm-hmm. Why? Because God, Hashem, is doing something within you. So yes, there are imperfect people. But all these imperfect people is to perfect me. I am sharpening iron.
Yes.
And that's what it is all about.
In marriage, I think this is the joy and the honor that we get to walk in as well, which is there's no perfect marriage.
Correct.
But there's not something outside of this marriage that will be more perfect. But the role and the honor we get is to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect, to be the perfect, to walk in that right now as if it is perfect, if you will, because we're being prepared for that perfect place. And so we're not going to wait till tomorrow to be perfect. Be perfect now.
In fact, in the words of Yeshua, when he says, be perfect as you are perfect, he says, if you have begun the journey, you have already perfect in my eyes.
Amen. Amen.
It's just, you have already, you take the step.
Yeah.
So the strength of the marriage is what? When each individual focuses on God.
Yeah.
Not what she's not doing, not what he's not doing. Each of us are not doing many things. But the reason my wife and I are together is because I seek the Lord, She seeks the Lord.
Yes.
And our hearts are together. And because our hearts are together with the Lord is the one who is bringing us together.
Amen.
Yeah. It's not my effort. It's not my strength. It's not my power. It's not what I do. It's the love. Yes. And in the words of Yeshua, what are the greatest two commandments? Loving Hashem with all your heart, your soul, and your resources. And number two, loving your neighbor as yourself. The greatest neighbor you have is your spouse. And that's what covenant is all about. Covenant is never to be broken. Because if covenant was broken, then Hashem would not love Israel anymore. Mm. The very idea of covenant is a God concept. Mm. The reason Israel still exists is because of covenant that God made with Abraham. No. The reason you and I are still existing in no matter what we do is because we have a covenant through Yeshua, our master, to be engrafted to the promises of Abraham and to the Jewish people.
Amen. Amen. I think the idea of dispensationalism where one covenant nullifies the next, and there's these new, and now the old ones are old and they're done and expired. That's not true.
That's a lie.
That's a lie, yeah.
That's a lie. That has been lie from the pits of hell. Yeah. That has been there from generation to generation. It is this generation for us to restore it back unto Hashem.
Yeah.
We are living in one of the greatest times. You can either be a person who studies prophecy, or you can be a person who is a partaker of prophecy. I prefer to be a person who is a partaker of prophecy, to be part and make prophecy happen in my lifetime.
Amen. Amen. That's a great charge. I hope that you're enjoying this conversation as much as me and Holly are. And if you want to get in touch with Pastor John, Pastor Joseph John, then please get onto his website and get involved with his ministry. I'm sure there's lots of ways to communicate with him. Please send your blessings to him for his mission. And thank you all for joining us today. Please like, subscribe, share, and share this message. There's somebody that needs to hear it. And you might be the person that gets to partake in this time by taking this link to this video and sharing it with somebody who needs to hear this message. Thank you for being a part of it. And Pastor, would you please close us with a word of prayer?
Sure.
All right.
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord. We are living in one of the greatest times of history. I pray, but there are few. There is always a remnant. In this generation, in the nation of Israel, in the nation of United States, all over the world, oh Lord, there is a remnant. So I'm calling upon the remnant in the name of Yeshua. Just like you told Elijah, there is 7,000 people set apart for me. I pray that the remnant would arise. They would arise in prayer. They would arise in unity. They would arise in coming together. And together, Lord, because of the remnant, you would have mercy for the next generation. That there would be a generation of godly young girls and boys that would be risen up. Who would be dynamite people. Men of favor with God. Men of wisdom. Men of knowledge, oh God. And I pray, oh God, that the power of God will come and hit upon every home. I pray for anybody who is sick this morning. I pray in Yeshua's name. Let your healing flow from the top of their head till the tip of their toe. In Yeshua's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Shalom, everyone.
Shalom.